Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Do you know, I haven't heard that in years. That's the Doolies, that is. I said Doolies, and that's the chosen few. Talking of which, got a chosen one.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Oh.
How are you?
Absolutely. Good afternoon.
Jonathan Bacon.
Councillors, always in touch.
So, have you got a knighted or an MBE yet or anything like that? Is it just plain old Jonathan?
Why on earth?
Is it just plain old Jonathan?
If you're being polite, yes.
All right, well, good afternoon, just plain old. It's good to see you. It really is. There's lots of things I want to talk to you, because obviously you've been in the news a bit recently. And we should point out today, because you sent me an email, and I kind of misread the email, because you said you're going to come in on the 17th of May. And you said, I thought you said it was like a proper local council day, like a celebration day, but it's not. It's something else.
It is the day of our annual council meeting, our AGM, as the Isle of Wight Council. So nothing grander than that.
Okay, so it's good to come in on this day. Yeah.
Well, you started off, so if we want to celebrate something, today is the day that British summertime was introduced.
Well, that's a better
way. Today is the day the Victorian, was it the Victorian Album Museum, I think, opened? But best of all, Wizard of Oz was published on this day in 1900. There's something to celebrate.
The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Good grief. Anyway, look, you're trying to sidetrack. What happens at an annual meeting like you have tonight? What's the lowdown?
It's the same thing happens also for all the various parish councils around the island as well, but it's the meeting at which you sort of set yourself up for the next year. So all the important committee posts are elected and people appointed to those committees, and the chair of the council is elected tonight.
Okay, so there'll be some...
So the person who oversees our formal meetings for the next year, excuse me, is elected this evening.
So this is important stuff then?
If you're interested in the council, yes. It's not stuff that affects people day to day, but it just means it's you know, any trust that anyone's... I'm sure there are people out there who are members of trusts and organisations. You have your AGM, you just decide, set it up for the year as to who's in the positions of responsibility. So, yeah, there's an importance.
Does it get heated?
It can do sometimes. I'm not sure there's too much to be in dispute this evening, but you always say that, and there's always something that will happen, I'm sure. It won't be a quick five-minute meeting and everyone goes home. I'm sure there'll be something we need to discuss and need to debate.
Okay. I mean, all I can say is I really hope it goes well, and I hope that there's, you know, when people do whatever they've got to do tonight, they just remember that they're representing the Isle of Wight, and my stance hasn't changed since you guys got elected. It's a case of I just want the best people to do the best possible job they can, and I'm not interested in all the arguments and the backstabbing and stuff. I'm not interested in that at all. I just want people to get on with it, because now is a really tough time. I mean, here we are. We spent minutes earlier talking about cost of living crisis and so on, and the fact that the council have put something in place, and we're now promoting that and putting it. And those are the sorts of things we want. All the other stuff, all the arguments and the backstabbing and stuff like that, I just think leave that. Leave that for another day. Go and do that somewhere else, because this is important stuff. Let's focus on what we need to focus on.
You'll never get away from it completely, because in doing that stuff we have to do, a lot of people are very passionate, and there are different views about lots of things and important things. So there's a right place for argument, but we can do without the trivial arguments. And that's when it goes awry, and that's when we get criticised, and rightly so. But if we are actually having a proper debate about a proper subject, then of course it should be fought out as it needs to be.
Yeah, and just remember the people. The people that put you there and you're now representing. Now, when you first started a couple of years ago, I mean, obviously you've been a councillor now for how many terms?
This is my third.
Okay.
With a break in the middle, yeah.
And this is when you got elected the last time, which was 2 years ago, roughly?
2 years ago, 21, yeah.
You came in after the Tories, and a lot of things changed. And it seemed like a lot of time passed before anything was kind of being seen to be happening. But now I look at it and I think, I read two stories this week about you and what you're trying to achieve and so on. Just tell everybody, just remind everybody what it is you do, because you've got like what they call a portfolio.
It doesn't show too badly, does it? But I mean, just in fairness, of course, you've got to remember that 21, people almost forget this now, but we were just coming out of a pandemic, or we were in the tail end of a pandemic, and things slowed down massively during that time. And there's been a long knock-on effect from that. And we're not still, we're not completely away from it yet. Mostly we are, but, you know, I had a friend 2 weeks ago, can't come in, COVID. It's still there, and it has had a very long tail. So I think that does affect things, and why there is an appearance in some quarters of not things not happening. But a lot of work has been going on behind the scenes, and with the two things you're referring to, one is bringing forward a plan for the future of Sandown Seafront, and particularly Dinosaur Isle. And the other one, which has been in gestation since before the pandemic, is dark skies status for the island. And that's something that I was pushing for when I was not a councillor and in the AONB. And that has... Yeah, that has been a lot of work, partly because the International Dark Skies Association, we had to track them down because they moved from Texas. No, they moved from Arizona, and we found them in Texas, and they'd had a complete change of staff. So that added about 6 or 7 months to the process. But what has happened there is we know we've got amazing dark skies in the southwest quarter, if you like, of the island. They are absolutely international standard, some of the best in the world. That's been long recognised, and we've been going through the process for how they can be supported and maintained. And that's through things like street lighting and looking at planning rules into, you know, if someone's building a conservatory, how do they light it so it doesn't spoil the night sky? And so there's been a lot of work going on, but we're now at the stage where we have our provisional case essentially accepted by the International Dark Skies Association. We are just gathering final letters of support from the various areas in Southwest White who are going to hopefully benefit from this status, and then the final application goes in very shortly, and we should hear back soon. But it's something internationally recognised, and it's, you know, people are saying, well, dark skies, why is that important? But it is part of our tourist industry, because Dumfries and Galloway, which is the sort of southwest corner of Scotland, if anyone doesn't know it, they obviously have pretty good dark skies there. They got that formal accreditation, and an area like that added a couple of million to its tourist income, just like that, on the back of that status. So it's an important thing in that way.
No, it's fantastic. And just going back, I didn't mean for you to think that I was having a bit of a dig because things were taking too long. I'm more
you
than aware.
You have a dig at me.
Yeah, more than aware that, you know, things have slowed right up. But it's a case of, you know, a new regime has taken over, and yeah, it might take a bit of time to sort of filter through and so on. But now it just seems like there's a lot of things happening, and quite a lot, so much so that I can't keep... I mean, you're in the news twice this week. That hasn't happened for a long time, has it?
I hope not.
Not
with
reasons.
My knowledge, no.
So that's good. That's good for the honour. I mean,
although there's only one thing worse than being talked about, and that's not being talked about.
Oh, I would prefer that. I would prefer not to be talked about. Anyway, I mean, that sounds really, really positive. And again, that puts the island on the map for, you know, tourism and all sorts. And that's a knock-on effect. So I'm guessing that tourism is massive for the island at the moment. Weather's just about to change. We've got good sunshine, and people are going to be coming to the island left, right, and centre. I mean, that's a positive thing, isn't it?
Yeah, tourism is—it's not the be-all and end-all of everything on the island, but it is an important part of what we do. And certainly, the island benefited—if one can say this—benefited from the pandemic and the after effects with the staycation boom.
They all came down and gave us COVID, didn't they?
But it's also had a negative effect. I mean, particularly the Airbnb effect on our rental properties. That's a very much a negative thing. But I suppose this year, people in the tourist industry are seeing how things pan out, because this is probably much more than last year, a year when that staycation effect is now out of the picture. So how many people are going to keep coming here, or how many people are going to say, right, I can go abroad, I'm going abroad? So I think there's a little bit of nervousness in the tourist industry. I'm not in the thick of it, but
really?
From what I hear.
I don't think there's anything to be nervous about. I just think it's a really positive. They've had that TV programme that I know a lot of islanders didn't like, but...
Oh, that's had a massive effect, yeah.
The amount of people that are coming to the Isle of Wight and bigging up that TV show, it doesn't really matter what we think, it's what other people think, because the whole thing is to bring people to the Isle of Wight.
Absolutely.
Because we want your money. and in return, you can have some sunshine.
Why didn't they film you?
I don't know. Maybe series two.
What, a whole series on you?
No.
I think there's plenty of material there.
Yeah, they might have to shove it on after 9 o'clock. But I just think that's a positive thing. And here we are. You alluded to the fact that 3 years ago, I was talking about this on the show earlier on. 3 years ago, I'd have been sat in here and I would have had to, sneak down, sneak home, avoid everybody, and other people were locked in and so on. And here we are, 3 years later. We're coming out of it.
Yeah.
So, there is a lot of positives. I know that there's a lot of people that have been affected by and they're struggling financially. There is help. Check out our website. It takes you through to the council website.
Mm.
See, it's nicely set up because there's a link on our website which takes you through to the pages. You don't have to go through pages and pages of council websites. So it's there. But the point is, we are coming out the other side.
Yeah.
And when you first started 2 years ago, you were starting kind of on the back foot, and now you're more on the front foot because you're making things happen.
But just on that, I think an interesting point is that, yes, we had a really good exit from the pandemic in tourist terms, but we can't rest on our laurels. The tourist industry is changing. People want new things, better things, different things. And that's why things like dark skies are important. Just to flag that up and say there's, you might not have realised this, there's another reason to visit the Isle of Wight. And Dinosaur Isle as well. The plans to improve that. It's an amazing collection. We're talking to, in fact, very much talking to, forming a relationship with the Natural History Museum, who came down to our first stakeholder meeting and said, you've got the second best collection to us. And that is the best collection in the country and one of the best collections in the world. And we don't make enough of it. Dinosaur Isle Museum, despite the brilliant work that's done by the staff there and the people who oversee it, it's a bit tired. It hasn't changed an awful lot. Museums these days, if they want to bring people in, need to improve, change the displays, introduce new technology and so on. And we are a little bit behind the game. I said that in the council meeting last week. And so that's part of it. It's not resting on our laurels. It's seeing how can we get ourselves ready for the next wave of tourists, the next wave of interest, or how can we generate that next wave of interest like the Channel 5 programme has done. There's something new there. People who maybe not interested in the Isle of Wight before switch on the telly at 8 o'clock in the evening, whenever it is. Oh, that looks rather nice there. I didn't know about that. I'll go there. And it's those things that just, something new that grabs people's attention or which you can shout about, and then that's what promotes your tourist industry. And say, resting on your laurels is not good for the tourist industry.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that's a good approach to adopt, because you just cannot. We sat still for a long time in the past and we did nothing. And people used to poke fun at the island for, the postcard holiday and all that kind of stuff. And now we've got to modernise as well. So that's a good point. And obviously the other added bonus now is that you can come to the Isle of Wight and listen to the best community radio station in the UK, with the home of the best radio, the community radio station in the UK. I mean, it doesn't
You've got an award, haven't you?
It doesn't get any better than that, does it? You could actually visit the station where the best community radio broadcasts happen.
Yeah.
So you could put that in your pamphlet.
Absolutely. And just outside, you showed me your aria, didn't you?
I did.
It's very impressive.
It was heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a heavy aria.
Yeah, I was surprised at the weight when I picked it up.
Well, thank you for picking it up. lots to talk about. We could talk about... Yeah, let's do it now, because you're in the news for another reason. It's the Dinosaur Isle. Now, just remind me, because Dinosaur Isle is in Sandown, the seafront. It opened about, I don't know, 20-odd years ago?
Yeah, round about that.
And over the last couple of years, there's been a bit to and fro in about what's going to happen and so on. So what is the deal now?
The deal now is that to recognise, I'm sort of repeating myself a little bit, to recognise the importance of that collection, both as a tourist asset, but also as an academic asset. As I say, Natural History Museum, say, second best collection in the country. But we don't do it the credit it deserves. Not all the collection is in one place. It's split over a couple of locations on the island. And if one looks at the academic side, people like to come down to research the bones, the collection, but if they have to jump between two locations, that's not good. That puts them off. So part of the idea on the academic side is to bring the collection together in one place, and that will probably possibly give the opportunity to develop some teaching facilities, maybe student accommodation, lecture halls, and so on, so we can make full academic realise the full academic potential there, but also, as I said, not resting on your laurels. There is, because it is so amazing, there's a commercial potential there as a tourist thing, and that is not properly realised there. Part of that will be getting the collection all together. Part of that will be improving the display, updating things. We've got an application in which we're very hopeful will be successful for a big amount of funding from a special museum fund that's been created in the last year. And if we win that, we'll find out later this year, towards the end of the year. But that will be a major boost to creating that new facility, and there'll just be the knock-on effects from that, I think, which, as I say, really just ties in with what I was saying about tourism industry before.
Well, which the knock-on effect for, I'm guessing, the island, but Sandown as well, because Sandown,
Sandown is one that is one of those places that there's an awful lot online about what's going to happen, why isn't anyone doing anything, and there does seem to have been something awry there over the years. I don't know what, but very much what I'm hoping, and the rest of the administration are hoping, is that through this and other things which I'll mention in a moment, Sandown can get its proper place on the map. It has got the most amazing seafront there, and that is not that possibly loses out. That's lost its attraction a bit over the years because the people not doing the bucket and spade holidays. But there's still an amazing resource there. So alongside Dinosaur Isle, we're looking at how to help the Wild Heart Trust develop, which is the old Sandown Zoo. And they've got some great plans which will both enhance the local environment and you know, again, make an attraction that really feeds into the zeitgeist, if you like, of supporting the ecology, supporting endangered wildlife. It's not just about going to see a tiger these days. There's so much more to it. And the area behind Brown's Cafe, which is obviously an important part of it, an important part just as a community facility, somewhere to have events, and also it's wartime heritage as well. The levels, which again are an amazing natural resource, and we've been talking to some very high profile individuals, probably can't name at this stage, about how we can best realise the potential there as well. So there's an awful lot in the mix. If people want to read more about it, there's a little report. If you go to our council website and find the cabinet papers for last week, there's a 3-4 page just vision for the Yavland Culver Parade area, which I'm summarising massively here. But it's not just Dinosaur Isle, that's a keystone or a very important part of a much wider picture to create something where people don't just come visit a museum on a rainy day and go away again, but they come visit the museum, they visit the Wild Heart Trust, they take a walk in the levels, whatever it becomes called, behind, and play a game of golf. There's a whole day or several days of activity there. And again, it really just will hopefully put Sandown back on the map in a way that it deserves to be on the map.
It's hard to understand why it's gone the way that it has, because in the day, I mean, I'm talking 70s and probably the best part of the 1980s as well, Sandown was always the place to be. And it pretty much had the same sort of things as what it's got now. It had three brilliant nightclubs. It had the golf course. It had the zoo and a few other bits and bobs as well. And you just think, well, what happened? They had the theatre as well on the pier, which was always a draw. You know, summertime.
I saw Leslie Crowther there. My dad took me to
see really?
Leslie Crowther.
I saw that fella that used to live, I think he, because off the back of it, he moved to the island, the guy that was in It Ain't Half Hot Mum, Melvin Hayes. Yeah. He was there for summer 1980, yeah. And it had just a vibe. The vibe was just incredible. So,
But that's of its time. Those things, I don't know, I don't think there's summer season as there used to be 50 years ago, 40 years ago. But it's, and what you need to do now is to find what people do want to do, how things are going, and people poo-poo it. But ecotourism is a major thing. The ability to be within and experience nature, is right at the top of the tree now. Sorry, pardon the pun. In terms of what people want to do, and that's something, you know, the island has in spades, that people come here, you know, people come here, they don't go to the beach, they bring the dog, they're walking through the countryside, they're going up on Tennyson Down, they're going the long walks around Godsell, Rookley and so on. And that's the experience they want, and we can provide it.
Well, I mean, things like you say, things have changed. I mean, we're talking nightclubs, and there's only one now. There's one in Newport, and that's it. So,
I've never been there. You?
No. Well, not as it's. You know, when it opened, I was the one that opened it. I worked in there when it was Chicago Rock, same building, and it's amazing. I've worked there, and it hasn't closed. All the others have.
Because you worked at all them, didn't you?
I did. I closed. You know, if you want me to close a club,
curse of Ian Mac.
You just let me know. I'll be round. So, what's this space in Sandown then? What's on the horizon now? What's the biggest project that you're working on?
Myself? Yeah. It's between that, which there's an awful lot to do and to bring, because we're talking to the Natural History Museum, we're talking to the Environment Agency, we're talking to people who want to create a seawater pool there, the Wild Heart Trust. So there's an awful lot of people to talk to there, and as I say, a couple of other big players in the background who I hope will be able to come forward as part of the mix soon. I suppose the other thing is biosphere and climate change. In terms of things happening, of course, the council declared a climate change emergency or climate emergency back in 2019. We then hit the pandemic. But it's absolutely essential that we deal as best we can as a council with the effects of climate change. So a lot of my work is bringing together the strategy, the inspiration for people to do things on the ground, making sure that when the council is working, considering decisions, they are taking account of what's the climate impact of this, how can we reduce carbon. So again, that's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. But we pulled together, you know, it sounds boring, it sounds ineffectual, we pulled together a lot of committees, a lot of working groups, a lot of policies, strategies and so on. But we're getting to the point now where things are starting to be put into effect. You know, we have a very good organisation on the island called Together for Mission Zero, who have been a brilliant networking organisation. They are organising events quarterly, which are bringing together a lot of people in tourism, farming, whatever it is, industry, and inspiring them and learning from them as to how we can take forward the climate change or deal with the climate change issue, take forward the carbon reduction programme. So as I say, that's probably the biggest thing I'm involved in, just because it affects everything. And the council itself is responsible for 1% of the carbon output on the island. Schools are quite a heavy element as well, and then it's everyone else. So we will, I'm pretty sure, hit our targets to be carbon neutral by 2030. But we've given ourselves an ambitious maybe target to make the island carbon neutral by 2040. But that will involve not being patronising, but education, maybe inspiring people is a better term, so that when they are running businesses, organising tourist businesses, whatever it is, they're just considering that, and they're given the tools and the knowledge so that they can reduce their carbon output, and we minimise the effects of climate change as best we can, because it is a real thing.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I can't get my head around the fact that by a certain time we're all going to have electric cars, and I'm thinking, well, where are all these electrical points going to be on the island? I'm guessing, you know, if you've got up and down, you know, motorways up and down the country, they can plonk them in anywhere. I mean, where are they going to be on the island?
They're going to be on our houses.
On our houses.
New houses that are being built. I mean, that's one of the things.
But my house isn't new.
Well, look up retrofitting.
Right.
And that's going to be another big thing as well, because we've got a lot of old, very energy inefficient houses on the island, which are not set up for the 20th century, let alone the 21st. And it's unfortunately an expensive process, and the government's going to have to do something to assist this, but we need to ensure that houses are properly insulated, are dealing with the water that comes increasingly from the sky, and not just flooding the drain straight away with it. So simple things like water butts and so on, but landscaping, but also in terms of the electrics. You know, we're going to be getting rid of gas boilers, so we need to look at how houses are heated. And in terms of cars, when we build new houses, they will have that facility as part of a house. It's probably going to become a design necessity. And remember that electricity, part of the problem with that is storage. And that's something we have not tackled yet. It's a difficult thing to tackle. But if you're driving around in an electric car, you're driving around in a great big battery, essentially. So what people are finding they can do is they drive their car, they plug it in at night, they can feed the house off the car.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
I can see the cogs turning.
Yeah,
it sounds like what would have been a science fiction film to us when we were growing up, but it is working out how this whole network works. But as I say, cars are going to be an important part, not just getting around, but actually are an energy source or an energy resource, because it is a big battery. And if you want to power something up, you plug it into a battery.
No, I'm just concerned, because obviously I care about the planet, I care what's going to happen and so on, and I just think...
You've got your lovely green T-shirt on just to show it.
I have. That's Vectis green. Vectis green, that is. I worry about where all these... Because people say, where are all these points going to be then? When are they going to start happening? Obviously, the lead will come from the government, whichever government is in place and in power.
But they are starting to happen. I mean... other supermarkets are available, but you look at Tesco now, which is the one I tend to go to because I live nearest it, and you've got a whole raft of electric charging points there.
Yeah, but there's thousands of cars. Just say, for instance, well, there was one here, and now it's gone. I don't know why, but now it's gone. I don't think anyone nicked it and put it on their house. But
there are more now overall than there were a year ago, and a lot more than there were 2 years ago.
That's my
and there
only
will
concern.
Be a lot more. Coming forward,
let's hope so, because otherwise how are you going to do, because that car that you drive, there's no way you're going to get that battery operated, are you? So would you have to get rid of that now?
I would hope that technology will develop so that older cars, you can convert them, and it may be that electric cars are the staging point. Some people will tell you, some in the motor industry will say that's the staging point towards hydrogen power. That's a way off yet. And that's an absolute complete infrastructure change, so that you fill up your car with hydrogen rather than plug it in. But that's the way to go. If I can't, when I can't run that car because I love it so much, I will hang on to it. And there will be a conversion at some point, because one thing, I think it was Ray Harrington Vale, I think he was possibly in here, I had a discussion with him and said, a little while ago, which is actually better, an old car, essentially a recycled 30-year-old car, or a new electric car? And he said, well, the old car, because you are using less resource there, because still some of the production of electric vehicles relies on lithium, whatever it is, carted across the planet. The carbon from the air miles is horrendous. But you know, if I'm trying to justify the fact I've got old cars, they're recycled, so I'm not using new resource. I'm using old stuff.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Yeah, I'm still driving with petrol, but at some point I hope that we will have the facility for a fairly easy conversion. There are cars being converted now. I think someone did I see in the news recently a VW camper was converted up to electric.
Brilliant.
As long as you've got the space to put the batteries in, it's potentially possible.
I'm all for it. I saw one the other day. I was fascinated. There's a car parked outside of this shop, and I looked at it and I thought, I've not seen a car like that before. It's like, it was something like from the Jetsons. And I looked at it, and it literally looked like a little cartoon car, and I thought, that looks brilliant. Guy came out, told me, yeah, it's an electric car. And we had a little chat, and I thought, do you know what? I'd love to drive that. The only negative thing was the fact that he can only do 50 miles. He can only, you know, so, okay, it might be okay on the island, but on the mainland, that's going to be a bit of a struggle. But I'm all for it. I know things have got to change and so on. How excited are you by that, by being the councillor with the portfolio that is obviously going to be, you know, at the forefront of all of this, change? How excited are you for the next...
Of course it's exciting. I mean, in terms of transport, because that function specifically is taken by my colleague Phil Jordan. So in terms of what happens on the roads and electric charging rollout, that's actually his responsibility. But the overall strategy, it's exciting. It's fascinating when you learn things about why things happen, how things can be improved, what should be done. And sometimes it's the simplest things that you just don't realise are causing a problem, and a quick change can actually make life a lot better.
Look, we're running out of time. We've got about another 5 minutes. I just want to ask you, because obviously you're now 2 years into being a councillor for 4 years. Do you go hell for leather for the next year and then ease off a little bit for the final year, thinking, well, I might not get elected? Or do you just carry on as normal? What's in your mind now then? Are you conscious of the fact
that this is coming? My mindset is to carry on as normal. There's just a whole pile of work to do, things to be done, all that stuff I've been talking about. Then things happen day to day that you have to deal with. So one I obviously had to oversee is the problem with the coastal protection at Ventnor, which failed earlier this year and has now collapsed completely. And you just have to take things like that on board and work it through. Fortunately, we've used that to develop our relationship with the Environment Agency. Work has been planned in Ventnor for some time because of its very fragile geology, but we're bringing that forward now as part of the emergency repairs. We'll be bringing forward that greater project to hopefully give long-term protection to Ventnor. But it's all business as usual. We'll have our little, as you were saying earlier, our little spats and flaps. But the important thing is to not let that distract from just getting on with it. And if I don't get elected next time, then hopefully everything's set up so someone can come in and carry on as well. And carry on dealing with the emergencies that arise and carry on with the work that I think is absolutely essential to, well, no one's sound too grand, I was going to say the planet, but the island and the island's place in the planet.
Well, you can only make a difference here. You can't, you can't decide what happens elsewhere. So, I mean, this is the bit we're all focusing on and changing. I hope you do get elected, because I've said this before, and I do mean it. I'm not just saying it because you're a nice bloke and we get on. I'm saying it because I think I've watched you over the last couple of years.
I bet you say this to all the councillors you chat up, don't you?
No, I don't. No, I don't. But you, I mean...
You do realise we're still live, don't you?
Yes, I do. And that's why we've got this award. We're not afraid. I think over the last couple of years, you're proving value. You know, they voted you in. I didn't know whether you were going to be doing... I don't suppose you'd have thought, well, that's what I'm going to be doing when I get elected.
No, because when you're elected in your area. So I'm the ward councillor for St Helens and Brading. And then after the election, you find out who comes together to vote the leader in. That's the key to the council, is there has to be agreement over who's going to be leader. The leader then appoints the key roles. So, yeah, you go into the election saying, I want to represent my ward. That's the absolute core function to work for St Helens and Brading. And if you're lucky enough to be favoured by whoever becomes leader to say, I'd like you to take on this particular role, then that's the bonus. But it's a very big bonus, and I'm really glad that Laura decided that I was up to it and that to give me this role. And the thing is to then just get on and do your best alongside everything else.
I totally agree. And that was a good idea. It was a good vision. It was to see, because you look like you're in your element doing this. And, you know, I've got to say, you know, things are impressing. I look at what's happening, what's changing and so on, and I think it's all a positive thing. And people might not realise, but when you come in and explain, look, the reason why we're doing this is because it's going to have a knock-on effect. They've done this in Dumfries, did you say, and somewhere else in Scotland, and all of a sudden there's an impact there. And there will be, I guarantee, there'll be a massive impact again this summer and summers to come, purely and simply because it's on the map. People are now interested.
Yeah.
And not saying that they weren't before, so I just think that's fantastic.
And when you do your series on Channel 5, I mean, it'll just, the floodgates will open.
Well, you know, it's, you know, nice of you to say so. They never got in touch, which is a bit sad. They never got in
touch.
They? No, they didn't.
Oh, I'll speak to someone. I know. Someone.
Can you speak to somebody? I mean, I sent them a message saying, look, you're missing out here. You are. Look, we're all joking aside, I think what you do is incredible, and I think long may it continue. And if there's anything we can do in the future, I do have a bit of a confession. I did mow the lawn yesterday. I know you're not supposed to in May, but I mowed the lawn yesterday. I found my bike and a football. And a cat.
When did you last mow the lawn? Probably the next question.
Quite some time. I didn't go down too deep because I thought, well, you know, I don't want to do it again. I don't want to, you know, a risk.
May is a good idea. It's something to be supported as far as possible, but you do have to be a bit practical. You know, there will be businesses that rely on how the place looks, and some people want to see a manicured presentation, but where possible, I mean, we had this discussion in St Helens the other evening. We had our AGM, and of course we've got second biggest village green in the country. We're not mowing parts of the green, but we have a football pitch, we have a cricket pitch, so you've got to manage those for the community value they have.
Yeah, sure.
So there's got to be a balance.
Do you know what, next year, just very quickly, next year what they should do is have a, like the Movember thing, have a no-mow and take pictures and give an award for the grottiest looking lawn. What do you think? Or the most, you know, outrageous.
The most biodiverse lawn, shall we say. I don't think...
See, that's why we need
Otherwise
you.
You'd win with your bike and...
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. I'd have chucked more stuff in. Anyway, it's always a pleasure to spend some time with you. And
thanks for asking me.
Good luck with this evening, and I hope everything goes well and turns out okay. And I say, all we've got to do is just remember, we're all pulling together, we're all one island. One island, get on with it, and make it a good one for the people that put you there. That's
Absolutely.
All I can say.
Couldn't disagree with any of that.
Is that why you're suited and booted?
Yes. Well, okay. Some of us have style, some don't.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. not in court then.
Not today.
Thank you, Jonathan.